Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 9th day of April, Anno Domini 2022, and you, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 12 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Here we are. Google has urged Chrome users. Oh, we are on, for some reason, I don't know what it is. Steve has no problem getting to Facebook from this studio. I cannot. It get blocked. I don't know why.
Well, he knows Mark personally.
And so we're on YouTube and five people are watching, but we are not on Facebook at this point. And I apologize to everybody who.
We'll figure it out.
Deeply loves Facebook. Google has urged Chrome users to update as yet another emergency security fix is released. A little over a week ago, Google has issued a very rare emergency update for the Chrome browser. Rare because this was a security update that patched a single solitary security vulnerability. As for the emergency, Google confirmed that an exploit had another emergency update. The good news is that there is no confirmation that attackers are already exploiting this one. However, it is another sudden out-of-band emergency security update that covers a single vulnerability, which means Google is in no doubt as to the seriousness of this one as well. The emergency update takes Chrome to version 100.0.4896.75 and comes hot on the heels of the landmark version 100 update that itself fixed some 28 security vulnerabilities. In a Chrome Stable Channel update announcement published April 4th, Google confirmed that the security patch will roll out for Chrome's Windows, Mac, and Linux users over the coming days and weeks. And in fact, pretty much everybody should have it by now. To check your system, go to the three-dot menu in the upper right, select Help, select About Google Chrome, and check the version number. If it's not 100.0.4896.75, update. It's important to understand that the impact of vulnerabilities in the Chrome, and update anyway.
Yeah.
Can't hurt.
No, yeah. The Chrome generally does a pretty good job of not bricking things.
Right. It's important to understand that the impact of vulnerabilities in the Chromium engine goes beyond just Google Chrome users. That's because the same engine in a different wrapper powers many other popular web browsers such as Brave, Microsoft Edge, Opera, and Vivaldi. An update to Brave brings it to version 1.37.111. Microsoft has now updated the Edge browser to version 100.0.1185.36 and confirmed that this is the latest iteration of Edge and it is no longer vulnerable. You can both check to see what version of the browser you're running and initiate the latest update for Edge by going to Help and Feedback in the Settings menu and select About Microsoft Edge. If your browser needs updating, the download will automatically kick in, but you will need to restart Edge to be protected. But of course, Microsoft users are used to restarting after an update. So our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is emergency update for all Chromium-based browsers. And your choices are, I'm up to date, I'm going to update today, going commando, baby, I have no idea, I don't care, and of course, other. So far we have 27 votes in the poll. I'm up to date is 16 of them. Four people don't care. Three are going to update today. Three have no idea. And one said other. Now, if you said other, or if you just have more to say about this, or want to complain that I didn't put six or seven different
other answers.
Version numbers in the...
Yeah, what happened to baseball? I thought we were going to put baseball every week just because we like baseball.
Just baseball. Yes, we do, too. You can head on over to our website at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. Scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, you'll see the forums. The second forum down is the poll discussion. Currently, at least, the number one item under poll discussion is 9 April 22 emergency update for all Chromium-based browsers. And, of course, you can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800 790-415. The important thing to note here is that Google does an awfully good job of keeping stuff up to date. Very, very good. But, you know, there's always going to be a disconnect, a slight amount of wait time between discovering a vulnerability and fixing that vulnerability.
Yep.
So when you get a vulnerability that's particularly one that's being actively exploited, check all the time for updates. Make sure you're up to date. And, of course, a problem in the Chrome browser is, as we said, also a problem in Edge and Vivaldi and pretty much a bunch of them, pretty much everything except Firefox.
Right. And, well, and Safari, anything with WebKit.
Oh, right, and Safari. Because WebKit and Firefox are the two main ones that use WebKit.
Right.
And pretty much everybody else uses the Chromium engine. So the problem is in the Chromium engine. So whatever browser you're using, if it uses the Chromium engine, you need to update it immediately. The good news is the updates are available.
And they're free.
And they're free. So you should go do that. That's important.
Now, if you pick Chrome auto updates, how often do those happen? Are they once a week or are they more often than that?
They happen. Yeah, they happen really only when they're needed. There's not a set, you know, the theory is that there are updates every month for Microsoft and every 2 weeks for this and every 3 days for that. But Chrome browser updates pretty much like Linux updates.
Right.
When it needs one, it gets one. And if it doesn't, it doesn't.
And it'll let you know down in the lower right-hand corner.
Right. And it doesn't wait.
Yeah.
You know, Microsoft waits. It is rare that Microsoft does what they call an out-of-band update.
Yeah.
Everything waits for that second Tuesday of the month.
Yeah.
So new exploits come out the second Wednesday of the day after the second Tuesday.
So you could be hacked the following day.
Right, because then they've got a whole month.
Yeah.
To use your machine before you catch them.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, you can give us a call. And you know what? You're going to want to give us a call anyway. Why? Well, because this is pledge time.
Yeah.
Dun-dun-dun. We are in a pledge drive. I know you love the pledge drives. And guess what? I'm gonna treat this like it's an NFT or a Bitcoin thing.
Okay.
This is your chance, ladies and gentlemen, to get in on the ground floor.
That's right.
We have a brand new pledge drive, and you could be among the first. The very first to make your pledge. So give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Call us toll free at 1-800-790-0415. But most importantly, and easiest for you because you're a computer geek, pledge securely online at jazz901.org. It takes less than 2 minutes of your time. You do it right from the comfort of your own pajamas. You log into the Jazz 90.1 website, hit that big donate now button, and enter your information. Make sure you say it's for sound bites, and take a look at the things that you can get, all the great
tchotchkes
that you can get for that. So definitely you want to make sure that you are in on the ground floor, people. Get yourself to jazz901.org and sign up right now. And become a member. We need your support. You've been very generous in the past keeping this show and this station on the air. And we're not done. We need your help to stay on the air for another year. This station operates right close to the bone. We don't have a lot of excess money lying around. We don't have a lot of...
Isn't helping us.
Right. We don't have any government sponsors, corporate sponsors, none of that stuff. When we say public radio, we ain't kidding. That's you, and we need your help. It's time for you. Look, we know how great our listeners are. We do. And we know that you will step up to the plate. But don't wait. Do it now. Because one of the things that we always say is if we make our nut early, we quit early.
Yeah.
That's the way that works. But we often go right down to the last minute. People love drama. They wait till the last minute to pledge. Don't wait till the last minute.
Well, they rely on other people. They figure, well, that guy, I don't have to worry about it. The other person will take care of it, and I can just sit back, and they'll be okay.
Yeah.
No. It doesn't work that way.
That's right. You need to do your part now. Make the call. Make the pledge. Go to jazz901.org and make that pledge. We'd like to thank the people who have already pledged. Yes, we do have people who have already pledged, but you can still get in on the ground floor. Don't wait. This thing's going fast. It's the hottest thing on town. Go for it right now. We want to thank Brian and Andrew and Stephen and William and George and David and Kevin and Gary and Lauren and Rodney and Linda and Mary and J.A. and Marcia and Stephen and Richard and Paul and Ralph and Harvey and Greg and Cheryl and James. These people all of them.
What nice people they are.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, all of those people were from somewhere in New York.
Okay.
And that's understandable because just started.
There was one from West Virginia.
Oh, really?
There is not.
Yes.
Oh, yes, there is. That's right. We have
there
one from Bridgeport, West Virginia. That's exactly right. Thank you. I just didn't, apparently, coffee has not yet kicked in.
Most of them were from New York.
Yes.
Most of them were from New York.
Well, 99.75%.
Yeah. But thank you all, each and every one of you. You can join that August group. And it's easy enough to do. Head over to jazz901.org, click on the Donate Now button, bang! You are in. You are a member of the party. You are a member of the community. You are one of those people who keeps this show and keeps this station on the air. And it's up to you to do it. There is no way around that. And while you do that, or of course, you can give us a call. Michael is standing by.
That's true.
To take your call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll free 1-800-790-0415. And in the meantime, we'll talk to Tom from Penfield, New York. Hiya, Tom. What's up?
How you doing today?
Peachy, how are you?
So good. I've been a member for years, and I listen every week. And I haven't called in a couple years, though, so this is my first call in a couple years.
Well, welcome back.
Glad to have you. What's up?
Well, thank you. So I have a Chromebook. That's why I don't call very often. Nothing ever goes wrong with
there
it.
There you go.
Ain't that the truth?
but I've been messing around with the new Zoom PWA. I guess they're going in June. They're going to discontinue the current extension or whatever it is and go to the PWA version of it. So I loaded that up and I tried it out, and it seems to work okay, except I don't get sound through my speakers. I know other people can hear me. But I don't get sound through my speakers, and I've tried everything I can think of to try to fix that, and I've looked around quite a bit, and I can't seem to get a solution, so that's why I'm calling.
I'm afraid I haven't used it. For those of you who don't know what a PWA is, it's a progressive web app. Instead of loading an app into your system, they load it from the web for you. It makes it easier for them to keep it up to date and everything else. So I haven't played with it yet, and I thought it was still in beta. I didn't realize it was actually out for real yet.
Well, maybe that's my problem. Maybe
you could be playing with a beta version.
Yeah. Well, yeah, just load it up. And so it seemed to work okay. I did notice that when you do bring it up, you have to be sure to, at the top of the screen that comes up, there's three dots. You click on that, and it says open in Chrome.
Right.
So I didn't do that, and it still works, but the video was really bad.
Yeah.
And, of course, I didn't get sound then either. But then I opened it up in Chrome, and I got much better video out of it. But I tried it several times, and my wife was on her other computer trying to make this thing work, and I could never get my speakers to work. I've got a...
Sounds
got
like you're answer. Working with beta. I mean, that's the whole thing with beta. You can get it on your machine and, try it out and everything else. But with beta software, that's the thing. You're the guinea pig. So if it messes up your machine or, doesn't work correctly, they can always fall back and say, well, it is beta and we're not ready for it. So you take your chances.
Now, what kinds of things have you done with the audio output so far? Have you run it through speakers or headphones or used the onboard speakers?
I've tried headphones.
Okay.
I've gone through the settings, the Chrome settings. And the application settings as well, and looking for any, if it's been off or whatever. So I've turned everything on that I know how to reach in here. So I've made a pretty thorough search of all the settings in here. I've got a Acer 314. It's about a year and a half old.
Okay.
So I've looked around. I look on the web for answers, and you always get the, well, make sure your microphone's turned on.
Sure.
You know, but the speakers don't work. But I just want to mention that I used Zoom about a week ago, and now I get a warning on the top of it telling me that the Zoom extension is going to be replaced by the PWA in June.
Right.
Right.
That's what
right.
made me go look for it, because I'm getting a warning now when I go into this that it's got a short life.
So do you have the app now, or are you using the PWA?
It's the app.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's a way to uninstall that app and try using just the PWA? Or is that... Or,
I may have done that already.
Okay.
I did delete it one time, and I came back in and got it off the website.
Mm-hmm. Does your audio work with other, you know, for instance, if you go to YouTube, can you sure. hear the audio there?
Oh yeah, it works with everything else. No problem. It's just with this. If I use the old Zoom extension, it works.
If I reload
that, my speakers work. So maybe I just should wait.
You say you've been in settings and in the sound, and you've chosen the correct output.
Yeah.
So in Zoom, I know you can pick from multiple different destinations.
Well, I'm talking about in Chrome itself.
Oh, okay.
So in Chrome,
I went there as well and looked in the settings
for sound and chose your output device and set the master volume and looked at the device properties and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. Well, maybe somebody else will give you a call about the same issue because I'll wait for a couple of months and see if this goes away.
Yeah, well, if anybody else has been using it on a Chromebook and knows this issue, I'm afraid that I haven't played with Zoom in quite a while because I work for a rival company.
So. Is there a USB-A port on that Chromebook? Just a regular USB port where you'd plug a flash drive into?
Yeah, they usually have one.
I'm wondering if a USB headset might get different results.
I don't think I have one of those.
Okay.
I know what you mean.
But the thing that is, though, you might not have to wait as long because if the release is coming, they don't usually like to wait to the very last minute just to roll it out, just in case they're all of a sudden a couple pieces of code might not work, and you get the working example out at least a couple weeks ahead of time, so you don't get inundated by 16 million people complaining that it's not working right.
Sure. Right. And I would ask you to try two things. Clear your cache first.
I did.
And secondly, make sure you're not running the Zoom app in the background.
Yeah, I deleted it. I took it off of there. So I did remove that.
All right. Disable extensions and try it, just for the heck of it.
Okay.
All right, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Dennis Worster, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It's 30 minutes after the hour. This is Soundbites, member-supported. Pay attention to that. Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
It's your professionalism I most appreciate. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright. Trying.
I'm Dennis Worster.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I have to say, Steve Ray still one step ahead of the law somewhere in the Southwest.
He might show up next week.
He might show up next week if he can shake the posse.
If he remembers how to get here.
Yeah, exactly.
Busy. Well, he's been busy sitting on the hood of his Ford Torino, squinting at the horizon.
Sun, shades on, shades off. Yeah. All right, back to the before we get to back to the phones, let us remind you that we are in a pledge drive. We need your support. It's only a couple of times a year that we come to you and remind you that this is truly member supported radio. We don't have underwriters like you find on other quote unquote public supported stations. We are truly supported by you, the listener.
It is
only twice a year.
Yeah, we're not like some of the other stations that are, if you go up and down the dial, I can guarantee you they are always begging at least three to four times a year to get money. And they get state aid. We don't get
We don't get any of that.
We don't get any government subsidies. No, it's all you folks.
We rely on the nicest possible listeners to become members. And they do.
And they do. And that's the miracle. Every year, you folks, God bless each and every one of you, you step up to the plate and you become members. The problem is many of you wait till the last minute. And I get it. I get it.
Right.
Drama is great. The adrenaline, the rush, are they going to... The problem is Rob is getting old before his time. If you can...
Sad but true.
No, you can't see Dave on YouTube. That's a bonus this week.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Chili. But we let's not wait till the last minute. Let's join now. Get to your phone. Call 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-529-LINE.
And you know what the thing is? When you call, they will be so nice to you.
So we have Michael on waiting patiently for your calls. Michael is standing by. 585-966-5299, toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or all of you who are computer geeks, go to your computer, go to your tablet, go to your phone, and go to jazz901.org. Click the big red donate now button. It's hard to miss.
But if you call, tell Michael your favorite joke.
Tell Michael your favorite joke. Tell him the joke. And
if
then,
it's good, we'll put it on the air.
And then tell him the answer.
The thing of it is, which folks probably have forgotten, the other big thing about keeping this station on the air is this June, the Jazz Fest is back.
Yeah, that's true.
We will be down on Jazz Street.
Yep.
And the other big thing is quite often during that whole time period, Rob and this station are usually giving away tickets.
That's true.
To get into the different events. All because you folks like to keep this station going. And that's only possible by you calling and donating. That you know, he can do that and offer that.
There's so much that this station does.
That it's
including
back
for
now.
Those of you who don't listen to jazz, and I know that's a minority of you. Jazz is a wonderful medium, a wonderful genre of music. But for those of you who don't listen to jazz, you still have this show.
Mm-hmm.
Let's face it, this is the station that took the chance and put a computer show on a jazz station.
Right in the middle of the weekend.
That's exactly right.
Prime time.
It's not like we're happy to be here.
Yeah, it's not like we're...
I love being here.
Late in the morning, you know, early in the morning or late at night.
Or something like that.
You know, when you're half, you know, baked and ready to go to sleep for that. It's prime time.
Yeah, and Rob and the station took a chance on us. And this is how we pay them off, quite frankly. This is how,
this is
we,
how we
repay that chance. Yeah. You need to make that call and make that pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free at 1-800-790-0415. Or you computer people can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. I don't have to tell you that it's secure. Because you can see the fact that it's got the little lock in the corner, and you can click on that and see just how secure it is, and you know how to do all of that. So make that call and make that pledge. Let's not wait till the last minute.
And heck, ask a computer question while you're here.
And then ask a computer question when you call
No additional
in.
Charge.
That's right. We can Michael can do is after he takes your pledge, he can then forward you to us. So
and he has been.
And we've got a couple of people waiting on the line, so let's get through them as fast as we can. Our first caller, our next caller, is Don from Pittsford, New York. What's up, Don?
Hello, hello. You often extol the virtues of a password manager.
Yes.
And my question is there a password manager for an iPhone app that allows one to sync with a PC, Windows 10, and exchange information or updates back and forth?
The answer is yes. There is.
Thanks for calling. Bye bye.
No. We can do better than that.
All right.
There is a very nice program called 1Password. That's the number 1 and then the word password. And it is available for many different platforms, and they all synchronize to each other. You can have one password vault, and when you are on your Windows computer, you can add things or remove things or edit things, and they will synchronize back to the app on your phone. If you have an iPhone that has Touch ID, which is the fingerprint ability to store your password behind a fingerprint, you can use your fingerprint to unlock the vault. If you have Face ID on a more recent phone, you can use your face to unlock the vault. On your Windows computer, you type in that single password that you have, and it will unlock the vault to reveal the rest of yours so that you only have that one thing to remember. So one password by a company called Agile Bits Incorporated has a tool that will work with Android, with Chrome OS, with iPhones and iPads, works with Linux and Macs and Windows and web browsers, too.
So does MPass,
by the
way.
Yeah.
Most of them do. So any one of them, what you need to do with all of those is pick an online place to store your database. It's heavily encrypted and protected, but, for example, I store mine in Google. In the Google Drive.
Mm-hmm.
And so no matter what device I'm on, whether it's a Chromebook or my phone or my Linux machine or my Mac, I can open up NPass, put in my password. It goes up and gets the database, so everything is always in sync.
Yeah.
So there are a number of them that will do that. So, you know, don't hesitate to try one.
You've mentioned MPass frequently. Is that one that allows exchange of information between a PC and an iPhone?
Yes.
Yeah.
All of them do that. And the way they do it is it depends on where you store the database. So when you set it up, you have a choice of where you store the database. You want to pick online, somewhere online. And your choices are things like Google Drive or iCloud or
OneDrive.
You know, OneDrive or any of those. You pick one of those, mm-hmm. and that's where you store it. And then as you set up each machine, you say, okay, I'm using the same username, the same password to log into NPass, and it'll say, where's your database? And you tell it, and you're done.
Are these two programs, iPassword and MPass, are they free or paid programs?
1Password is a paid program, and I believe they have an annual subscription. You can pay by the month or you can pay annually. And if you pay annually, they give you a break on the price. And not only you can get it for yourself, but you can also get it as a family, which I think allows up to 3 or 5 people. I don't remember the number, so don't quote me on that. But it allows for multiple people to use the same license. So there you can have a spouse or a child or other people in your family make use of that as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm using the free version of NPass, which works great, but you can also pay $2 a month for an individual or $3 a month for a family.
Does the free version allow you to do this exchange that we've
yes.
been discussing?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I have an iPhone, but it's not particularly smart, so it doesn't recognize fingerprints or faces or
okay.
whatever. But do I activate or access?
You type in the password
on that app.
Yep. You would type in the password each time,
the same way you would on a computer,
right?
And okay. NPass. You can also once since like you said, not the smartest phone. once it's up and running, say in the background of your phone, you can then also assign a PIN number. So
okay.
you can set up and just type in the PIN, because once I'm logged into it, that's what I do on mine is with NPass. I set it up for a 4-digit PIN and just quick type that in, and it lets me in and, you know, logs into, the, you know, various websites.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Good information. Okay. I think that answers my questions, and it's again just a more basic utility. 1Password
yes.
will
right.
access all of your accounts that you were previously using individual passwords for.
Yes, that's right. You can enter those into 1Password, and you can do that mm-hmm. in a couple of different ways. When you install 1Password, one of the things it does is install something called a browser extension. So that's a piece of software that works with your web browser. And when you visit those sites, 1Password pops in and says, hi, it looks like you are entering a username and password. Would you like me to store that for you? And when you say yes, it will happily take that information and file it away. Alternatively, okay, you can manually type in the websites and the usernames and the passwords that you'd like to preserve.
And I presume the same function that exists with M-Pass?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a very common approach.
Okay. Yep.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
I have been a member for 20 years, and when we get off the phone, I will pledge anew.
Bless you. Thank you so much.
That. Okay. Take care, guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Yeah, and it's your opportunity to join Don. God bless him. It's your opportunity to join Don as a member of Jazz 90.1. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Hit that giant red and white donate now button. It's hard to miss, and you will be... you will get in on the ground floor of this half year's pledge drive, and we joke about it, but we need your support. There's in this particular instance, there's no guarantee we'll continue. If there's no money, there's no money. That's just the way this works.
It's the way life goes.
We are. When we say public supported, that's true. We don't have a big corporate sponsor waiting in the wings. We're not looking for extra money. Believe me when I tell you.
Or a big stash of cash to fall back on.
Well, and people say, you know, okay, I'm going to give you some money, but, you know, what do I get out of it? And, well, the answer is you get a radio station. And for instance, just for our show anyway, you get a place to call when you're having that weird computer issue that you don't know how to understand or not quite sure how to even explain to people.
That's right.
We will happily listen to you and offer our best answers at no additional charge. So even that alone, when you think of the price of what it would take to get somebody out to your house to talk to you about your computer or to make contact with a local shop. Take a look at the pricing there and realize how much of a value we're providing.
We've said this before. Add up everything you bought for your computer. The hardware, the software, the printer, the
internet
modem,
service.
The internet service, all of that. Send us 10%. I'll guarantee you that's at a minimum, that's the $35 pledge level at a minimum.
And the bigger thing, though, is we've been doing this now for 31 years. We have been, the three of us, and along with Dennis popping in every so, coming every Saturday, we're here, and it's not like we get pay. At least I haven't seen a paycheck yet. But we are here every Saturday at prime time.
Yep.
Literally, right, not, you know, the end of the day or the very beginning, so we have the rest of the day. No, we're taking away from our families to come and help you folks right from noon to two. Every Saturday, you can turn on the radio and we're here. The only times that we don't go live is usually if Christmas or New Year's are on a Saturday. Right. Otherwise, we're here the rest of the weeks out of the year.
And we're happy to be here for you. This is the one thing that we ask.
Yeah, we ask just twice a year, we ask for your pledge of support, and I don't think it's a lot. So make that call, make that pledge while we talk to Jim from Greece, New York. Hiya, Jim, what's up?
Good afternoon. I already talked to Michael, by the way. I tried to pledge on the website, gave my American Express card, the number, and all that stuff.
Excellent.
I almost said all that jazz. And then I went to the Snapchat, and they... It's like I don't know what a bicycle looks like. I don't know what a truck looks like. And I hit that verify thing about 10 times. It didn't go through, but I had already written down the business office Monday. So I'll call them on Monday. And
Now, Nick, we got to watch out. Jim might be a robot.
He might be a robot. What is your question, Jim?
Okay. I was using my Mac desktop.
Okay.
And I was renewing my Nexus Trusted Traveler program through the website with Customs and Border Protection, Department of Homeland Security. And the next time I went and did it, it said your login.gov account was just used to sign in a new device.
Okay.
And my wife, who's way smarter than I am, said she thinks that the Mac OS has a rolling change in the recognizable address. Is that the IP address?
No, that would be the signature. Every computer has a signature associated with it. And that's a combination of the operating system you're using, the amount of RAM you have, some information in the processor itself.
Right. And well, this is assuming that they're not using a cookie or something else to identify you.
Right. And it may be that you just erase that cookie, and so it assumed it was a new device.
Oh, I probably have it set to erase cookies when I'm done, except for my own bank and a couple of things.
Yeah, you might want to add Nexus to that list.
Gotcha.
Because that'll do it.
Okay, great.
Yep, but God bless smart wives.
Yeah, no kidding. Where would we be without them? Sitting half naked on the side of a road,
yeah.
Wondering where we are. That's where we'd be. All right, thanks, Jim. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Tell your wife we said thanks.
Will do. It's, Jim and Iggy.
There you go. Thanks.
Perfect.
Thanks, Iggy. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Mostly the way you are tracked on the web is with cookies. So erasing cookies means you're no longer trackable, which is generally something people like.
Right.
But when it comes to something like Nexus, where they want you to have a consistent identification on their system.
Well, that's what they're all about.
Right. Right, exactly. So when you erase that cookie, they have to go in and say, to tell you.
Fall back.
We don't know who that is.
Right.
And it's generally you. You can look at the IP address, and you can look at some other information and see, yeah, that's me. I get that. I'm sorry. Thank you. I get that regularly when I sign in. I have multiple browsers.
Yeah.
And if I sign in with a different browser, I get a little message that says, who are you?
Hold up. It might not have been you.
Right.
Was this you?
Right.
They're all pleasantly paranoid about this.
Right. And generally, that's not a bad thing. It might be a little annoying, but it is not bad. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Ed from Rochester, New York. Hi, Ed. What's up?
Hey, I recently retired. And
congratulations.
Thank you. I was kind of forced into getting my own computer for home because I won't be able to use the ones at work anymore.
Okay.
And I basically, you know, it's a cheap laptop for email and that kind of thing. But I'm wondering what kind of security programs I should have on it.
Mm-hmm.
I've got Microsoft Defender's on there and whatever Spectrum has on theirs.
Well, you need to know what those things are. You should have an antivirus program. Defender is an acceptable one.
Mm-hmm.
It's not great, but it's good. So that's acceptable. You should have an anti-malware program like Malwarebytes and you should have Super Anti-Spyware. All of those should be on your machine pretty much all the time. And you can check all of that out and more at securitytango.com.
Okay. I'm actually on the site right now.
There you go.
Now, another question is, this computer is Windows 11. Is that much different than Windows 10, or is it just an upgraded thing? Or
it's an upgraded thing, and it's not bad. I mean, it's the newest version of the operating system, and it's a little bit different from Windows 10. So it'll take a couple of things to get used to. Nothing major, but a couple of things. And all you have to do is play with it for a while, and you'll be fine with it.
Well, I'm just wondering because on your Security Tango site, you go up to Windows 10, but you don't mention 11.
Yeah, I haven't updated it yet, and I probably should. But all the stuff for 10 works for 11.
Okay. And, my main thing is, I want to make sure my computer is secure for when I start going on my bank website.
Yeah, of course.
It's very responsible of you.
Good for you.
So, okay. I went through your list on the Security Tango, and I'm kind of I've been kind of checking things out here.
Also, install one of the programs that's on there is Revo Uninstaller.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, it makes it easy to install and uninstall software without bloating up your registry.
Because Windows does a, how should I put it, crappy job.
Of they don't do a job at all. It's just like one byte is gone now.
Yeah, they turn the bit off, and then your registry gets all bloated up and slowly slows down your machine.
Yeah. But yeah, okay. So set it up. You're right at the beginning of setting it up, so do it right the first time, and you're done.
Okay, and I just forgot what I was going to ask you.
That's our job, make you forget.
Yep,
that's okay. CRS.
Okay.
Well, all right, if you remember, call back.
Yeah, we'll be here.
Is there a spot on your website to write in with questions?
Right now, I'm doing stuff with AskNick.com. I do a weekly newsletter where I answer people's computer questions. It's $25 a year, and I answer their questions, and it goes out in the mail as a newsletter. But generally speaking, you know, people stop me in the mall and they stop me on the street, and we do this show on Saturday. That's enough for me for now.
But you're welcome to call.
I'm
back
retired
anytime.
Too, so but you can call anytime, and if you want to get the newsletter, then I send that out every week.
Okay.
Yeah.
With answers to people's computer questions.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, what? We don't... I try to be a nice guy, but I...
Well, there are limits.
We have lives.
That's true.
We have lives, and we like our lives, so that's the way that works. But yeah, so don't forget, give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299, toll free. 1-800-790-0415, or pledge securely online at jazz901.org. That music tells us that we are done with the first hour. Oh, but you're not off the hook yet. There's a whole nother hour of the longest running computer show in the known universe coming your way. That's Soundbites. We're going to have Dave Enright. We're going to have Dennis Worcester. We're going to have me, Nick Francesco, and we're going to have you. That's worth a pledge, don't you think? You've got a few minutes, so take a bio break and then make a pledge. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, and the easiest way is to pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Just hit the Donate Now button. Make sure you pick one of the sound bites things, and we'll be on our way. We'll be back in just a few minutes. It's Jazz 90.1. It's Sound Bites. We are member supported. See you in a few.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Grease Rochester, a public service of the Grease Central School District and official media partner of this year's CGI Rochester International Jazz Festival, Jazz 90.1.
On Twitter at 901Jazz.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Dennis Worcester.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. But more exciting, much more exciting than the simple fact of the second hour of this show, mm-hmm. is the fact that it is the first Saturday of the spring pledge drive.
It's true.
For Jazz 90.1. That's right. You have the opportunity now to get in on the ground floor of the most exciting thing to come along this year. It is the pledge drive for Jazz 90.1. All you have to do is make a pledge. And during the first hour, we got pledges from Catherine and Brent and Marshall and Fred.
Yep.
And thank you to each one of you. That goes along with all the people we announced at the top of the show who pledged during the week. And you can pledge either by calling us at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online. All you have to do is go to jazz901.org, click that big red and white donate now button, and make that pledge online. You can do it from your phone, from your tablet, from your desktop, from your Chromebook, from your Raspberry Pi. Maybe you've got a chip in your head. You can do it from there. I don't know. But
it's
make
okay.
that call. Any way you can get to it. Make that call and make that pledge, just like our friend Andy did from Greece, New York. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hey, Nick. Yeah, I filled out my yellow sheet about a month ago. So
that's what I like to
Hooray!
Hear.
Hooray!
I'm sitting here all smug, as you put it.
Sure.
Question. On my Lean Windows machine, I have Zone Alarm as my firewall. I've had them, I don't even know how long I've had it. It's in the forever category at this point.
Right.
But this past summer, I renewed my Avast Premium, which does a nice job of cleaning up broken things and registries and all that good stuff. But it has this it's having conniptions because for whatever reason it doesn't see Zone Alarm. So it thinks I don't have a firewall turned on.
Right.
And I've looked through all the settings and there's nothing, it's not like Defender where it'll recognize that there's another product that's doing the function. Is Avast a decent firewall?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah,
yes,
like
it is.
Avast.
You could decide to not use Zone Alarm and to use Avast's firewall instead. If you've got it and you're paying for it, use it. And it works. If you've got the version that has that firewall in it, go for it.
Okay. Well, as I said, I've had Zone Alarm for so long, there's a trust factor in there, and I'm looking at the Avast wondering if it's as good as I got Zone Alarm because at the time, it was the best firewall out there. So, you know, right. I just kind of get nervous about, well, do I want to dump the one I know works for the one that probably works, but I don't know.
No, it works fine. It's a good product. It's well thought of. It's quite useful. So, you know, don't hesitate to use it. The only difference between the two really is that you're not going to see the notices from Avast anymore.
Well, that's kind of why I'm thinking about doing it, because I'm sick of it having a heart attack telling me that I don't have a firewall running when I know darn well I do.
Right, right, right. So, go ahead and switch to it. You should be fine.
Okay. Second question. We had discussed looking through browser extensions and things to see if there was anything left over from Facebook. There's nothing.
Hmm.
So at this, I mean, there's no FB, there's no Facebook. The only extensions in there are the one that the two that I put in there. One for the and they're both perfectly fine and safe.
Okay.
So can I take out the one that says it's putting a fence around Facebook stuff because it doesn't seem there isn't any? Because I had never put the app on the computer. I always went to the website and clicked into it. So it didn't add any extensions that I can find.
Yeah, you should be okay with that then.
Okay. Yeah, because I don't use Facebook on the Windows box.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, I was thinking about your firewall question. You could always, there are a couple of websites. There's hackerwatch.org that would allow you to install the one firewall and run the test that they offer, and then install the other firewall and run the test they offer, and then find out what the difference is between the two.
Good idea.
And that way you'll know for sure.
Okay, it's HackerWatch.
HackerWatch.org. They've got a probe
O-R-G.
Function there that you can run. And that will tell you what ports, if any, you've got open. And your firewall probably is going to close nearly all of them. So I would hope that both of them would score really highly. But if there are differences, then you'll know what they are.
Mm. I'm in the process of changing over all my internet accounts from my Roadrunner email to my Gmail email and it pending turning off internet through Spectrum.
Right.
the other guys have are on my house and working. So
good.
And I'm, as I'm doing this, I'm finding, as I'm trying to get into different things, I'm in Firefox as my normal browser, and I go to go into Lowe's, and it brings up the sign-in, and then it disappears, and I get a white screen, and Malwarebytes comes up, and it's counting 10, 11, 12, 13 trackers. And so I got out of that and tried a couple ways around, and finally said, the heck with it, shut down Firefox, went to Chrome, and went right in and had no problems.
Amazing. Right. Interesting.
Right.
So, and it repeatedly did that, so I don't know what, I don't know whether Chrome just doesn't have the problem, didn't see the problem, but I've got the Malwarebytes extension on that too, and it didn't trip, so I don't know what's going on, but boy, the Lowe's homepage just went out of its mind. Some of them were actually, I actually looked at them, I clicked on it, and it showed me what they were, and some of them were Google Analytics, and a couple were actually from Lowe's, it said Lowe's on them, and then there was a bunch that I didn't even, couldn't even make sense of.
Those are the ads. Yeah, there's lots of ads.
Right, so when you go and look for light switches, and then you go visit some other website later on, if they're on the same ad network, you'll see the same ads for light switches.
Oh, that's where it comes from.
I suspect that's what's going on.
Okay, well, like I said, I was able to get the account changed over by going to Chrome, so
okay,
that was
okay.
Just
good.
As interesting.
But all right, anyhow, thanks, Andy.
As always, thank you very much for the help, and we'll keep listening.
Yep, have fun. Yeah, but generally speaking, everything is run by ads these days. As Dennis said, everywhere you go, they're checking you, they're tracking you, they want to know what you're buying, what you're thinking, what you're doing.
Well, yeah, what you're buying, but also what you are thinking about buying, because that's the part where they can influence, potentially try to influence you towards a particular vendor.
Right.
Or show you ads for, it's all about the people who have things to sell need to find people to buy it, and the people who are buying things need to find a place to do the transaction. They'll find a place where they're selling that thing. And the ad agencies are all trying to match up those two groups together. And one of the ways they do that is by figuring out what you're interested in. And they also talk to the sellers and find out, what are you selling? And then they try and match everybody up.
Right. Is this Bristol?
Mm-hmm. Wow.
All Bristol? Right. Cool. Back to the phones. Our next caller is Ron from Bristol, New York. Hi, Ron. What's up?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. A quick question. Looking for recommendations on a good Wi-Fi mesh system.
There are a number of good mesh.
They've gotten a lot better in the past few years. I'm trying to think if there's a bad one.
Right.
I would think anything that's reasonably modern, whether that's Orbi, they all have weird names. Who's on first situation?
Right.
There's Orbi, O-R-B-I. There is Eco. No, Ecobee is the thermostat.
Right. There's Mesh, the Nest.
Eero.
Eero is one. Mesh, the Net.
Nest.
The Google Nest is a mesh network. So there's pretty much most of them. They mostly work pretty well. As Dennis said, there are the bad ones have mostly been weeded out.
Yeah.
The likelihood of getting a bad one is low nowadays.
Now, it is one of the more expensive types of systems to set up. You know, it's going to be multiple hundreds of dollars. But once you get it set up, in general, the people I've worked with to get these set up, they've been remarkably good. They're able to get very fast speeds far away from the rest of their network in areas of their home or of their property where prior to this, they were just simply not able to get a Wi-Fi signal. So in general, I think you're going to be very satisfied. If you're ready to make that investment, Eero would be a good one that I've installed several times. They're very extensible. So if you buy additional beacons, you can extend the range. What's the Netgear? The Netgear model. I'm sure all the listeners Orbi. Are shouting at the radio. That's Orbi?
Yeah. Okay. Orbi just came out with Orbi 6, which now, according to their advertisement, has wider coverage.
Okay.
And even if you add, when you buy the base, it comes with one satellite, which will extend it that much more.
Mm-hmm.
The wireless, they've upped the speed on that, so that's supposed to be kicked up a notch versus the 5.
Hmm.
So...
Right. Yeah, and Google Nest is also a mesh network. You buy the little hockey pucks.
Yep,
and you can buy more and more and more of them depending on how big your
network
is. And so Most of them are good.
Okay, super. Thank you guys so much. Have a great afternoon.
You too. Yep. Thanks. Yeah, a lot of people are going with mesh because unless you live in a fairly small place, there are parts of your home where you just can't reach.
It's true.
Easily or well.
So, well, my house is like yours. It's a Faraday cage, and I need to get the wireless upstairs for the TVs. I needed the satellite, and it does a great job.
Yep.
Or if you need to get it out to your deck so you can do your streaming audio.
Right.
You know, there are all different ways to do that, and mesh makes a nice way to do it so that you don't have to run a lot of cabling. You just need a little bit of power, and then you're good to go. So if you're out back by the pool, you can still use your phone and your Wi-Fi and do your streaming. You know, it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's one thing I did to my front porch is I added ran an outlet.
Okay.
So, well, it serves double purpose. You know, if I want to sit out there and relax and hook up the laptop and that type of stuff, I can do that. But also, you know, for other power equipment, if I'm using, sure. you know, leaf sure. blower or whatever.
Hedge trimmers.
But sure. having it just out there for an evening, you know, and we want to sit there, there was plenty of times I'd take my laptop out there and plug it on in. The Wi-Fi was great. Because, you know, reached, and
I used to have just a Netgear router, which fit the house quite nicely.
Yeah.
And then my wife decided she wanted to sit out by the pond. We have a park bench sort of thing
okay.
out by the pond. Unfortunately, it's on the far side of the pond.
Uh-huh.
Of course.
You get a semi-decent signal on the near side of the pond,
mm-hmm.
and dang near nothing on the far side of the pond.
Right.
So I had to change my entire whole setup so that, you know, like three times a year she can sit out back.
The things hey? We do. That's
exactly
all right.
Right. That's all right. But I got an Orbi. I've thought about getting a Google Nest, but the Orbi was on sale, and that was quite literally the
yeah.
thing that pushed me to an Orbi.
Right.
But both of them work well as mesh networks. You can What's add name? More stations,
okay.
and configure the thing to fit whatever size house or grounds you have. I actually looked into putting a station out in the garage,
mm-hmm.
where you know we have power,
sure,
and then that would really hit the back end of the pond. So
good,
but I didn't need to, but I certainly could have. So.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of things that a mesh network does really nicely.
And the ability to be able to extend it really is the unique feature of the mesh technology, where you set up a main beacon connected to your internet service and then a number of repeaters that listen for signal and then pass traffic to the other beacons. And then the farthest beacon can help extend your network out in places that you might not have been able to reach before.
Right. It's a really nice setup. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Irondequoit, New York. What's up, Jim?
Well, recently I got a new laptop, and when I try to shut it down, it gives me this closing one app. It says the OneDrive Personal, and it says, do I shut down anyway? And I usually just shut it down, and it shuts it down, but it keeps coming up with this one app running.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Yeah, OneDrive.
If I don't, then it closes down, and I have to re-enter my PIN number.
Yep. What OneDrive does is it connects you to the OneDrive cloud storage that you have available, and it takes a while to shut down. It just takes a while to shut down. So if you waited a minute, it would shut down.
What happens is that then I go back to the screen. I have to re-enter my PIN number.
Yes, that's security.
Okay.
Yeah, that's just a security thing. They want to make sure it's you, so nobody can steal the data you've got up in OneDrive. That's not a bad thing.
That's okay. Protecting you.
It is less okay. convenient, that's true, but it's a trade-off.
There's no way of stopping that?
Not really. It is I don't know how long your PIN number is, but it's not, you know, for the added security, it's not a bad thing at all.
Okay.
Just, you know, just kind of the best thing to do is to live with it.
Just to be slightly patient.
So the reason I'm calling is, of course, all the other computers don't do that. They just close down automatically.
Well, then you may have set it up differently on that one. You should look through the configuration. Take two different machines and look, one that does what you want to do and one that doesn't, and go through the configurations and compare them one to the other and see what's different.
Okay. Okie doke.
That's the only thing you can do at this point. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yep.
Bye.
Yeah. I personally don't mind putting in that PIN because it is that extra layer of security.
Right.
Particularly on a laptop. You know, on a desktop, it's in my house, it's locked down, blah, 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 blah. But on a laptop, you take it places. If you leave it somewhere, it gets stolen. You've got that little bit of added protection against someone stealing your data. So that's not a bad thing. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Hi, Mark. What's up?
Hi, Mr. Nick. How are you?
Peachy. How are you?
Good. Gentleman that was talking about the trackers and those things.
Yes.
There's a nice and easy way to kind of control that.
Okay.
And is using the Malwarebytes browser extension.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think he was talking about that. It's a great way to be notified when a particular website is trying to track you through all sorts of different means.
And it will block it. It will block it. And also, if you're using Avast, you can put their browser extension also, which also monitors and filters your web searches in Google,
right?
And will track the. So if it's suspicious or not, and it will have a shield, and it will change colors, see the green, yellow, red, kind of like Woot does.
Yep, okay. Yep.
So, and that checks the database. So there's a bunch of things. Komodo makes another browser extension that will block malicious sites and will filter some trackers. I run a bunch of them. It doesn't seem to hinder the browser, and it works in all of them, even the copy browsers, you know, like Waterfox and all the copy browsers of either Mozilla or Chrome.
Right.
So it's a good way to keep these things under control and keep them out of your, you know, web browsing. They're so intrusive.
Right. I use uBlock Origin, but yes, there are many, many like it. And you're right. It's a very good thing to have one. And as long as you're running Malwarebytes anyway, using that one is a very good one.
Yeah, it's excellent, and I'll tell you, it will block malicious sites in a second.
Yep.
And if it doesn't, and your browser catches it a lot of times too, so you've got multiple layers there if you use these things. And like you said, there's a 1, 2, 3 or even more process of backing up data.
Yep.
It's the same thing for your browser.
That's exactly right. Thanks, Mark. Good thought.
Got it, guys. And as soon as my disability check comes in, I'll be sending you money your way.
God bless you, Mark. Thank you so much.
God bless you, Nick, and everybody else.
Yep,
thanks. Have a wonderful day.
You too. Bye-bye. What Mark is talking about, for those of you who just tuned in and haven't spent the last 2 hours listening to me harangue you, is we are in the middle of a pledge drive. That's right. It's the first Soundbite Saturday of the pledge drive. You can get in on the ground floor. It's easy. It's fast. It's convenient. And all it does is cost you money. Just go to jazz901.org. Click on the donate now button and donate now. That's the whole point. Or, of course, you can just give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. We're taking your pledges because we are public radio. We are member supported. When we say it, we ain't kidding. There are a lot of other places that say they're member supported, but they get a lot of corporate donations. They get a lot of state, national money. They get all kinds of money from all kinds of places. We do not. We do not. When we say we're member supported, we ain't. Why don't you just tap him on the shoulder? That's probably a little easier. we are member supported, and that means that we only get money from you. If you don't pledge, we don't broadcast. It honestly is that simple. You people have kept this station on the air for an awful lot of years, and we are internally grateful for that. But we continue each year to need your help. As I keep saying, The budget for this station is cut to the bone. It is a minimum amount of money, but we need it every twice a year. We only come to you twice a year. We don't do mini pledge drives every month and three regular pledge drives a year and this and the other and twice a year. Please pledge. That's all we ask.
That's right.
And this is your chance to get in on the ground floor. We say this every pledge drive, and it never works. But if we make our nut early, we will stop pledging.
That's our promise to you.
That's our promise to you. And what happens is everybody waits to the last minute because everybody likes drama. Oh, yeah, we're going to wait till the last minute, and we'll get in there, and they'll mention our name, and we've saved the station. It's not how it works. Everybody who pledges saves the station.
That's right.
Whenever you pledge, you save the station.
Everybody counts.
Everybody counts. So pledge now. Pledge early. Pledge often. It's the Chicago style of pledging.
That's right.
Pledge early. Pledge often.
And I'm going to give you some tips after we talk to our next caller that are going to save you well more than any amount that you're going to donate.
That's exactly
right.
I've got
some great ideas for you.
But you're going to have to wait for those. We're going to talk to Mike from Batavia, New York. Hiya, Mike. What's up?
Hi there. One comment about you. I have an Orbi, and I bought it, I guess, about 2 years ago. The only complaint or thing that I would look at is the lack of Cat 5 ports. And especially if you're using Poe, Power over Ethernet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you buy the switch, it's like $100 more to add that on. So if I had to pick a mesh thing, I would pick one that had enough ports for me. You know, if you're using hard Cat 5 ports to use that anyway. But
okay.
The new 6 though, the new 6 comes with, I believe, 4 Cat 5 ports on the back of it.
Yeah, so does the one I have, the Orbi,
some of the earlier ones only had a few.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, though, Mike. If you have a lot of systems that are hardwired, you really need some sort of router that has
multiple jacks
at the back. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just bought a switch. It was easier. Buy a Netgear.
Yeah, but what Mike's point is it costs more money that way.
Yeah, but...
And I get it. I do.
You can spend. I mean, a 16-port switch was not really that much. I think it was all of maybe $75 or so.
Yeah.
For, 100, sure. /1,000 port.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But with all the computers I have in the house,
Right.
I was going to say, how many of those ports were Poe, though?
Right. Power over Ethernet is the big thing, and a lot of things don't have that. For those of you who don't know, power over Ethernet is exactly what it sounds like. You've got a cable that you connect to a computer to give it Ethernet, to give it Internet access. You can also, with the right devices, run your power through that, so you only have one cable.
Now, it's not a huge amount of power.
Right. But it's enough to power some devices.
Yep.
Not everything has it. Not everything uses it. But some devices do. For example, you can get Ring doorbells that use PoE.
Right.
So that you only have to run one cable to the Ring doorbell.
Right.
So that sort of thing. Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you, Mike.
Okay. Well, here's my question, though. Years ago, there were a half dozen computer groups in Rochester. Are any of them still thriving?
Thriving might be strong.
Hang on, Mike. We got to take a break. So please hang on. We will talk to you about that after the break. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a... Stay on the line, Mike. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Mike from Batavia, and you. It is 29 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites. This is member-supported Jazz 90.1. See you on the other side.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
It's America's longest running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm still Dennis Worcester.
Still?
Yeah. It's working out for me, though.
That's what's important. Okay, go with your strengths.
Yeah.
And at 35 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we still have Mike from Batavia on the line. You still there, Mike?
Still here.
Okay. So what I have done is I have posted on soundbites.org a link to the computer user groups of Rochester, New York. Now, this is a list that's on the Rochester Wiki, rockwiki.org. And I can't guarantee how entirely accurate the list is, but that's the list of the ones that are on that site. And you can go through that and find what you're looking for. There's plenty of them, listed there, including, you know, if you're an Apple fan, there's Apple Cider and Mac RIT, some general interest stuff, a couple of Linux things and like that. So,
yep. I can tell you that the Apple Cider group is indeed still meeting. They're meeting on Zoom. I believe it's the second Wednesday of the month at 7 p.m., I believe. AppleCider.org can give you info about that. They talk about everything related to their favorite fruit company and the products that they release. So if that's of interest, you can definitely talk with them.
Okay, super. Thank you.
There you go. Bye, good then. Luck.
Bye.
Yep.
Goodbye.
I've thought about looking into the Rock Pie, the Rochester Python user group.
Uh-huh. See what's going on with them?
See what's going on with them. I dabble in Python. I won't call myself a...
It's been tricky for user groups since the internet arrived, while it also allows them to advertise to a lot of places. Another place I would check is meetup.com. That's a place where people will often post links to in real life, we would call it IRL, in real life,
yep.
Meetups, where people get together. The internet kind of dealt a blow to user groups because it became a lot easier to share information, share files, and share experiences with each other across the internet.
Right.
Another challenge was the COVID pandemic, you know, that really put a damper on in-person meetups.
Yep.
So it's I would say if they're going to come back, this is about the time that I would expect them to start blossoming again.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of them are doing video chat type calls.
Yep.
Instead. And
which is convenient.
Just convenient and easy. You don't even have to wear pants. Speaking of convenient and easy, and whether or not you're wearing pants.
Just listeners, we are indeed wearing pants, as far as you know.
Speak for yourself. As far as you know. That's right. It's
I'm
radio.
Not on
I'm
camera.
In a three-piece suit. Right. We want to thank Michael and James for their very generous donations. Thank you very much. Also want to thank John. John has sent me...
Yes, what there is used this to anyway? Be,
there's a group called the Rochester Area Microcomputer Society, RAMS.
Okay.
They had a newsletter back in the days when we used to send out our news on a thing we called paper.
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 Huh. Mm-hmm.
Two syllables. It was called Memory Pages. He sent me an issue of Memory Pages.
A time capsule.
A time capsule from October 1977.
Oh, my goodness.
I flipped it open, and the very first thing I saw was the pinouts for the S-100 bus, which I recognized without even looking at the caption. I knew exactly what I was looking at. Yep. It was...
you know you're old when?
Exactly right. When you can just look at a pinout and say, oh, yeah, the S-100 bus.
Yep.
Most of you puppies don't even know what the S-100 bus is.
Yep.
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah. But that's that. It was very cool. It was the special 100 S-1. No, look, it says it right in the front.
It says it right there.
Well, it makes it
it's
a much...
got a nice hand-drawn illustration.
Yeah. But, yeah, the S-100 bus was great. You used to be able to buy computers that had nothing but what they called a backplane. And you know how there are slots in the computer to plug in your video card or whatever? The computer used to be nothing but that. You'd get 8 or 10 or however many of those you were willing to pay for in a box. And then you would plug in everything, including a processor card and an I.O. card so you could add floppy drives, a video card so you could add your computer monitor.
And you didn't have CD drives. You didn't have a mouse.
You had to add
a monitor, right. Keyboard.
Monitor and keyboard. And you had to add a board to take the keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
The basic idea behind that was it was cheaper because if you wanted to upgrade the processor, all you had to do was replace
the
processor
board. Yeah.
You want to add more RAM, plug in a different board, or add RAM by plugging in two boards. And so people bought S100 buses. That was the – there were 100 pins on it. So it was called the S100 bus. These are computer people. The
vintage computer people.
Vintage computer people with that.
Old timers.
So those were and they had, you know, North Star made one, and Microcom, and yeah, 100 different companies made them. And you could buy them and just add the boards you wanted. And you could buy boards from any manufacturer because they all specified the S100 bus. They all worked with everything else. So it was pretty neat. It was a pretty neat thing. And that was back in those days. And there's one from, 1977? Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty long time ago. Of course, Rochester was a hotbed for that stuff because we had so many high-tech companies their engineers in particular got very hot into microcomputers at a
Xerox.
Very early time. Yeah,
yep.
Xerox and Kodak and all of them, Bausch & Lomb, and just every place got involved in those things. And
even Corning.
Yeah, yes.
I mean, Corning with the fiber optics and glassworks and everything
else. So there was a lot of that went on, and he was kind enough to send me.
That is cool.
John was kind enough to send me, and I will keep that in my little library.
Yeah, this is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
Wow.
And now I have the pinouts for the S100 bus handy anytime I need them.
That's right.
It's very exciting
right
to me. Actually, that's sad, but it is. So thank you so much, John, for that. That's just one of the ways that people show their love to us, and we appreciate that very much. But the easiest way to show your love to us, man, that's a segue, is to make a pledge. It's very easy and very simple. All you have to do, remember, we are member supported.
This
organization, this radio station, and this show on this radio station do not exist without your support. It is that simple. We'd like to thank Sally for her generous donation. Thank you so much, Sally. Thank you so much. We need your support. Think about the fact that the guy who runs a jazz station took a flyer and put a computer show on right in the middle of a Saturday afternoon. That took guts.
Mm-hmm. And
convincing management. So if you people want to show your appreciation, frankly, the way management understands that appreciation is through donations. So please, you can give us a call at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. Or, of course, the easiest thing to do is to pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Click on the big red Donate Now button. Fill out the form. Make sure you say it's for Sound Bites. And we're on our way. It's an easy, fast, convenient. It should take you less than 2 minutes, even if you're on your phone and even if you're a fumble-fingered typist. So make that pledge. Take a couple of minutes right now. Make that pledge and join the family. That's what we're asking you to do, is to join the Sound Bites family. Be part of this group. You listen every week. It's time to step up and be part of the family. It's easy. It's convenient. It's fast. And it works.
Right. It sure would be amazing if we could go to the people that run the station and say, hey, look at this bump. Look at this spike in donations that happened during the Sound Bites show. 2 hours a week, and there's a definite spike here. I guess putting them on Saturdays really was a good decision.
Yep.
It sure would be great to be able to preserve our slot here and be ready to help you all whenever you call and have a question. We are ready and happy to talk with you about whatever is going on, whatever questions you have, whatever things you're unsure about, whatever things you want to know more about. We are ready to work with you.
Yep. And as those of you who listen to the station regularly know, there have been a number of changes recently in hosts and formats and shows that have been on, taken off and moved around. We'd like to stay, and the easiest way for us to stay is for you to make that call, 585-966-JAZZ. It's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415. Or you can pledge securely online at jazz901.org. Make that pledge, and we will stay on the air bringing you computer information, news. Dennis Worster shows up on our show, not regularly enough, but regularly, and that's got to be worth something.
I hope so.
It certainly is. So those of you who are fans of Dennis, make that call, make
yes.
that pledge.
Both of you.
Both of you. and we would be both honored and delighted to make you members of the Jazz 90.1 family. Look, we know that people hate pledge drives. Believe me, we don't love them.
Nope.
We don't love them, but they are a necessary evil until somebody just hands us a few million, which has never happened, by the way.
Not yet.
Not yet, at least. So we try to get them out of the way as fast as possible. And I promise you, we hit our goal, we stop pledging. It is that simple. But we don't wait till the last minute. Pledge now. Pledge early, pledge often, the Chicago pledge style. We are waiting for your call. We are waiting for your pledge online. Make that call, make that pledge, and we will all be together in the sky by and by. I don't know what any of that means.
Well, it's just so much easier. You know, if folks, like you say, don't put it off, get it off. Because, like you say, you could shorten it up by a whole week or so mm-hmm. if you got in there and just did it within the first week of the pledge drive.
Yep.
Rob would love it, too.
Yep. Yeah. It helps everybody.
Everybody.
Pull out less of his hair.
Now.
The rest of the DJs would appreciate it, too.
Yep.
I mean, that they don't have to come in because we know you folks, you know, oh, they're doing another pledge drive. No.
Yeah, we are, but we have to.
But we have to. So we can stay on the air and, you know, answer your computer questions and listen to the different programs that you listen throughout the week.
You sure. always have to pay the piper one way or another. We don't have ads.
Yep.
So we got to pay the piper in some other way. And the way we pay the piper is through pledge drives.
But, hey, we're going to make it work for you. Remember I talked earlier about I have a way that you're going to make back that money.
That's exactly right.
All right. Are you ready for this?
Ta-da.
Now, chances are good you shop at that giant Bezos corporation called Amazon. And they offer a lot of different products, and they'll bring them to you reasonably quickly. And in general, their prices are very
fair
and
competitive.
And definitely competitive. But one of the things that happens is the people that sell on Amazon and Amazon themselves don't always sell the same things at the same price. Can you believe that?
Unbelievable.
Once in a while, they might even discount the prices. But the problem is you don't really know when those discounts are coming, or is the price now as low as this item has ever been? If I can afford to wait a little bit, I might be able to save a little bit of money. So luckily, due to the intelligence of people and programmers on the internet, there is a website that you can use to track things that you care about and find out what the price history is of a particular item, and find out when does the price go down. Is it seasonal? Does it go down around the holidays? Does it go down around back to school time? Does it go down around Halloween? Does it go down around Mother's Day, Father's Day, grad time? It's called Camel, Camel, Camel. And no, I'm not repeating myself. That is the actual name. You type in the word camelcamelcamel.com, and you can go to that website and paste in the URL to any Amazon item, and it will give you the price history of that item over time. And you can see the line go across. And if it's perfectly horizontal, then you know that item generally doesn't go on sale, so now's as good a time as any to buy it. Or if it's an item that goes on sale, you'll see a little dip in the price. And they keep track of this all for you. They don't charge anything. If you click through their link to buy it, they get a little piece of the Amazon referral bonus that places are allowed to get. But that's how they make their money. And I don't know. Have you been to this before, Nick?
I have never been to this before.
Oh, my goodness.
I am very impressed by this.
What is it? How do you spell it?
Camel, camel, camel.
C-A-M-E-L. And you type that in three times. Camel, camel, camel. How did they come up with this name? I don't know. I was not at the meeting, but it is a unique Meta site that helps you analyze information about Amazon purchases. And I consult this several times a week, anytime I've got stuff going on. You can also import your Amazon wish list. So if you've made a list of things that you want to buy, you can do this. Camel will send you an email if you say, let me know when this item goes down by at least 5% or goes down by at least 10% or reaches, say you've got a $50 item. I want to know if it goes below 40 bucks. They will send you an email, a price alert, and say, hey, this condition that you cared about has now been met. Now is a good time to buy. Jump in. And it's like having a personal assistant that constantly watches the things you care about. And this is a great way to make back the dollars that you are pledging to the radio station. And you can make back so much so quickly that it's definitely worth your time and your interest.
Interesting. I'm just looking at an old Asus Chromebook, which just went out of it reached end of life.
Yes.
It was $280, and on April 9th, which is the day it went out, end of life, it dropped to $172.
That's right.
And there's the straight across, and boom.
I can't believe I didn't tell you about this sooner.
I cannot believe it. It's your fault entirely. CamelCamelCamel.com. If that's not worth the price of a pledge, I don't know what is. Frankly, I just don't know what is.
Did they belong to the three wise men?
Camel, camel, camel.
As far as we know.
If you know why, camel, 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 does a camel appear in your living room?
I don't know. Into a mirror? It works for Beetlejuice. I know that much.
Or going up one hump.
And Bloody Mary.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's the humps of the prices. I don't know. Camel, camel, camel.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
If you've got ideas about why it's called Camel, 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 call us and let us know.
Sure.
I need to know.
And is it a dromedary or I forget what the other one's called. Anyway, we're going to go to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Brighton, New York. What's up, Jim?
Hi. You know, I'm having a problem every now and then with the icons disappearing or turning into some just outline.
Okay.
While the color's gone, the shape is gone.
Hmm. What operating system are you running? Jim?
Are you there?
Yeah.
What operating system are you running?
Hey, Jim, do us a favor. Turn down your radio, please, because you're trying to hear yourself through the radio, and we're on delay.
I'm on Windows 10.
Okay.
We'll get there.
Okay, is this better?
Much better.
Yeah, much better.
Go ahead.
What are these the icons on the desktop? Or somewhere else?
Yes, it is. Icons on the desktop.
Hmm.
Okay. Yeah.
The most annoying one right now is my Chrome icon.
Okay.
What I used to do was go to the start button, right-click on there, go and find the Chrome icon in the list, you know, scroll down, and then just drag it onto the desktop, and I'd be fine. But that's not working with Chrome.
All right, so if you right-click on the desktop, there's a drop-down menu. The top choice should be View. And if you,
yes.
Okay, and if you select Show Desktop Icons, do they come back?
Well, I just click now. I'll unclick it, and then repeat this option. Whoops, my screen went blank here. Let's see what's going on here.
Hmm.
What the heck is this?
There are some people that prefer to not have the icons on the desktop, and that's why Windows makes a setting where you can opt to not have them appear.
Okay.
But it's possible that setting may have come on, and following the recommendations of Nick here, where you right-click on the desktop and choose Show Desktop Icons, could make them reappear.
All right,
well,
so go ahead.
I did that, and it was already marked as, you know, checked. The checkbox was checked.
Okay. And maybe there's something else going on.
Yeah, there got to be something else.
What other clues can you give us? You said the icons were showing up, but they were black and white?
Yeah, black and white, just white, basically with a black outline, but it wasn't the same shape as the normal Rikon.
Okay. Right.
Okay. What you need to do, I think,
might be time for a restart.
It might be time for a restart. The other thing. Well, hold on a second.
We're doing some searching here, trying to.
Okay. There you go. I am posting a link on what to do when your icons disappear.
Ah.
There's several things you can try. I really don't want to have to go through all of them step by step here, but they are published on our website at soundbites.org, and you can, it's the third or fourth one down at this point. I think the third one down.
Nice.
Yep, what to do when your icons disappear. It's a link to a website that'll tell you what to do.
Things you can try. What do you think about that, Jim?
Yeah, we'll do that. Thanks very much, guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
That's great. Thanks.
Yeah, it can be tricky when stuff just starts disappearing. That's unsettling.
Right, and because there's three or four things you can try, we don't want to have to go through
sure.
each one. So just leading him to a website
then
that
he can
helps
do it
with that stuff
whenever he's ready.
It's Windows, and you know,
could be a lot of things.
It could be anything. So yeah, I get it. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Mike. No, he isn't. Yes, he is. Mike from Batavia, New York again. What's up, Mike?
Camel, camel, camel. If you graph price versus time, it's going to look like three camels together.
There you go.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
That
there.
Sounds good. That's
all
as
right,
good.
Thanks, Mike.
That's as good as anything else I've heard. I'd buy that.
Yeah, me too.
Little
I'd buy
humps,
that for a nickel.
Humps for the price.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's what Dave was talking about.
Yeah, it's exactly what Dave was talking about. Camel, camel, camel. Like that. Yep, I get it. I get it. All right, so we're coming up toward the end of the show, but you've still got a few minutes to make a pledge. If you're waiting for drama, if you're waiting for excitement, if
this
you're waiting
it.
For the last minute, this is the last minute of this show.
The guy wearing the tuxedo with the big mallets playing the timpani, this is it. He's warming up, and he's started already doing that drum roll on the timpani. So that right. you can take the time to make your secure pledge. You can pledge online. You don't have to talk to anybody if you're just not in the mood.
If you don't like people, you don't have to talk to
them. Do it online. I guarantee you will not have to talk to a single person.
That's right.
And you can take that to the bank.
You can take that to the bank, or you can give us money from your bank. It's your choice.
It's your choice.
We want to thank Lawrence and Paul and Linda and Joe for their lovely donations. Thank you so much. They join a whole bunch of other people who have pledged to keep this show on the air. We cannot possibly thank you enough for your generosity, your kindness, and frankly, the money
yeah.
from your wallet.
If you keep pledging, we'll keep taking your calls, and we'll be here to
That's
do it.
That's our deal.
And we promise that we'll keep listening to those things.
The more you pledge, the more we'll be here.
That's right.
Every week. Okay, that's it. We're done for another week. We've got 37 votes in the poll so far.
Ooh.
So please vote in the poll at soundbites.org. That's Bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. You can still pledge. Just because we're off the air doesn't mean you can't pledge. It's 585-966-JAZZ. Well, no, you know what? Just go to jazz901.org. Click the big red Donate Now button, and you will be able to donate. Make sure it's for Soundbites. I want to thank Dave Enright. I really want to thank Dennis Worster. I'm Nick Francesco. You have been listening to the longest running computer show in the known universe. And the only reason we're this long running is because of you folks, because we are truly member supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in just 166 hours. Be good to one another, will you, for Pete's sake?